You know, we laugh at that, but there's some truth in that, right? Happy New Year. And I thank you for being here today. What a great way to start off the year. They say that the way you start off the year is probably how you're going to end the year. So I hope that's true, that you've come to learn about God and your part in what he's doing and his invitation for you to be a part of his kingdom work. Hey, listen, before we dive into the sermon, I really kind of want to just talk to you just a few minutes as the church. I know that many of you, or most of you, probably saw the news last week about Freeway Church of Christ over in Fort Worth, where they had a church incident where a shooting inside the church. And so I sent out to those that are on our email list an email this week just kind of letting you know that we have a fantastic safety team. They are trained. They are, if you don't see them, that's a good thing. You may have recognized some of them. But listen, I want to give some instructions to the church real quick. If in case, and we hope that it never does happen, we believe we're prepared and do a lot more stuff on the outside before someone would be allowed into our worship center. But if in the unfortunate event that something were to happen, here's what I need you to do. If anything happens, you'll hear a word from me like, get down, or, you know, and that's what I want you to do as I run off stage. No, so, but I want you to get down as low as you can. You remember going, I'm dating myself, we used to have tornado drills in school, you know. And we would get down, you know. Fire drills is when you leave. Tornadoes is when you hunker down. And I want you to hunker down. And here's the reason why. We live in Texas. And there are a lot of people who have concealed handgun licenses. What we want you to do, if you're not on our safety team, even if you carry a gun, we want you on the ground and let our safety team do their job. What we don't want to have as happen is a lot of people standing up and start running and they don't know who the assault is, where the assault is coming from. I just want to tell you, we take it very seriously. Pastor Naleem and I and our whole team, we take it serious about providing you a safe environment for you and your families. And we want to pray for those at Freeway Church of Christ. I mean, what a tragic incident. And just pray for them this week. Pray for their leadership as they have to move forward in this. And it's unfortunate that someone told me today that said I had to remind myself to get my Bible and my gun. I carry, not on Sundays because I don't want to get shot by these guys, but no, I'm just kidding. I carry. And throughout the week, we keep our staff safe. We are very, very, very serious about safety. But you as the church have to, if you hear me say assailant or get down, please do it. We're not going to have a drill today because I don't want you to mess up your hair or your shoes or step on somebody or not be able to get back up. But it's important that I let you know that. So, hey, how many when you came in, how many of you did not get a balloon? George, ushers, do we have any balloons left? Let me just ask another question, but lower your hands real quick. Somebody blew up their balloon and popped it. Would you be honest and admit who that was? Okay. All right. You're the kind of guy that, Tripp, you're the kind of guy that when they tell you don't turn the paper over yet, you're already started on the test. So don't, you're going to see why you got a balloon. If you don't have a balloon, raise your hand because I want everybody to have one if we've got enough. And as you're getting past those, let me just say, these last couple of weeks, you know, when you're closing out a year and beginning a new year, if you're like me, you take time looking back, trying to just see what God did, what you did in 2019. And God just overwhelmed me with the goodness of God, just reminding me of how much I've grown in 2019 from when I first got here. By the way, I have to brag on this because I brag on God because of it. This year is important to me because 2020 represents clear vision. You know that several years ago I had four major surgeries on my eye, and I thank God that I went to a report 2 weeks ago, and they said I have 20/20 vision with the correction. Yeah. I hope my wife never gets that because she still thinks I'm handsome. So I won't let her go to the eye doctor. And year seven is the year of perfection, and starting today, this is starting my eighth year. I completed 7 years here at Connect Church. I've not done everything always right, and You know, I wish I could go back, and, you know, you always have regrets. Wish you could not do those, you know, go back and change them, but you can't. But I'm looking forward to the Etch-N-Sketch being clean and God beginning to write a new chapter in our lives. Anybody else still need a balloon? We're out? Well, just then you watch the other people and their balloons. I'm glad we ran out because I know how many balloons I bought, so that's a good thing. So, you know, as I've been contemplating this year, I had to ask myself a question. The balloon, which of these, the balloon or the water bottle, best represent Jay McFadden? Which one of these best describes me? They both are capable of holding things, water or helium, and they're meant to be filled. But if I'm honest, I'm more like the water bottle than I am the balloon. Let me explain. Actually, the water bottle holds water, but this balloon will hold more water. And it's because this water bottle, which I'm like, is not elastic, it's not stretchable, it is rigid and can only hold so much. Its capacity, it has been, if you will, designed to carry only a certain amount. And I find myself looking back, there have been times that I've been so rigid and so non-stretchable that I could only get so far. And God showed me as we're preparing this message in 2020, as we got away and prayed long and hard and discussed long and hard about what we want, what we believe God wants for you, the church, my goal is that I become more like the balloon. You see, this balloon, although much smaller than the water bottle, actually holds more water than the water bottle. Why? Because it's elastic. It's stretchable. It can go beyond the capacity of what you look at. And my goal for me and my goal for the church is that we go beyond the capacity that we think we can reach and go to the capacity that God wants us to reach. And then what I love about balloons, in just a second, not yet, we're going to blow the balloons, and we're going to blow them until they pop. Okay? So you got to blow them, and you say, well, that's easy for you, Pastor. You're full of hot air. But I want you to blow the balloon. Pastor Liam, I need a little help. Pastor David, I need a little help. Jared, you back there. I need to find out who pops. You can't pop it. You have to blow it till it pops. And whoever succeeds first, you can have this rigid water bottle. It's a Starbucks Texas edition water bottle. Okay? Now this again, why am I asking you to do this? Because I believe in 2020 that God so wants to fill us that we burst onto the scene, that we burst open in our families, that we burst open in our jobs, that we burst open in our schools, and that we spread all over and show the love and the glory of Jesus Christ. I believe that, and when that happens, man, buckle up because things are going to get exciting around here. And so this morning, when I say go, blow your balloons until you burst them open, all right? Ready? Go. Come on. Well, we know who the preachers are. All right, who was it? David, who was it? Sharon? Sharon, come up here. Let me give you this gift. I'll have David give it to you. Keep going, keep going. Some of you got those trick balloons, didn't you? And I just drove our safety team bonkers. Sorry, Craig. All right, you can stop. If you haven't got there, you're not going to get there. So I believe God wants to stretch us. And if you're filled with the right thing, He wants it. He doesn't want it just to fill us. He wants it to burst open. I love water balloons. As a kid, I loved water balloons. You'd be just how big those water balloons get, and then, you know, you throw them at each other, and it just bursts all over. You're just, you can't help but know you just got hit with a water balloon. At Connect Church, I want you to be the kind of Christians that when people come in contact with you, they know you're filled with the Spirit of God because you burst all over the glory of Jesus when you're encountering people. Amen. Now this today, I don't think I'm the only one that's like that water bottle. Can I get a witness to that? Amen. We all like our being comfortable. We don't like being stretched, if we're honest. It takes us outside of our comfort zone, and we like our comfort. But can I tell you, in 2020, God wants to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. God wants to stretch us and use us, and unless that happens, unless we are willing to be stretched by God and for God, we will not increase our influence for the kingdom of God. And God wants you, and He wants me, to stretch His influence and bring the glory of God to others. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, we got a packed service, so listen very quickly. We've got a lot of things going on this morning. But if you have your Bibles and your Bible apps, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm chapter 20. Psalm chapter 20. And once you've found it, say, "I found it." If you haven't found it, say, "Hold up." I borrowed this from Pastor Aleem, Pastor David. Yeah, I like that. They have great, I just love these guys. So once you found it, stand up. We're going to read it aloud together. I think it'll be on the screen behind us. And why don't we just read this aloud together this morning as we start off the year honoring the reading of God's Word. So let's do it together. Ready? "May Yahweh answer you in a day of trouble. May the name of Jacob's God protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and sustain you from Zion. May He remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt offering, Selah." That means just pause. "May He give you what your heart desires and fulfill your whole purpose. Let us shout for joy at your victory and lift the banner in the name of our God. May Yahweh fulfill all your requests. Now I know that the Lord God gives victory to His anointed." By the way, just say, "I'm anointed."
"I'm anointed."
God gives victory to His anointed. "He will answer him from His holy heaven with mighty victories from His right hand. Some take pride in chariots, others in horses. But we, Connect Church, we take pride in the name of Yahweh our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. May He answer us on the day that we call. May God give His insight and encouragement and teaching of His word." You may be seated. Church, I believe the next steps that we take at 2020 are laid out. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for each and every person here as an individually and collectively as a body. He has ordained our steps ahead of us. He's got a plan. We haven't finished the plan. We just finished a year, but God's plan still carries on into the future. And I believe with everything in my being that Connect Church's best days lie ahead in 2020. I just believe it's going to be a transformational year in your life and in my life and in our life as a church. But to get to where God wants us, we have to allow Him to stretch us the way He wants us. And that's going to be the challenge of 2020, that when God begins to stretch us out of our comfort zones, not to shy away from it, not to try to resist it, but to embrace it and say, "Fill me, O God. Fill me to the brim. Fill me to overflowing." You ever been around a Christian that's just overflowing with Jesus? They just can't help. When you see them, you go, that gal's got Jesus. They can't help but talking about Jesus. I was sharing with one of my friends out and out front. We were talking about it. I said, "Man, I just wish I had a church full of people that would do what you do." He's in continuing to invite people. See, in 2020, we want to create some cultures, some new cultures in the life of our church, which is really the culture of Jesus Christ. In verses 1 through 2, we see where the author, probably King David, was giving credit to God. He was putting everything in focus, that everything rises and falls on Jesus Christ, that rises on the relationship with God. And so I believe, as we look through this, that God wants us here at Connect Church to have a culture, to not only to develop, but expand and stretch our culture of seeking Jesus. You see, we can seek all of these other things. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, you can seek those things, but seek first the kingdom of God, and then all those things will be added. We try to find all these things that we think that's going to make us better. Friends, there is nothing can make you succeed as a believer in your life personally, in your family, as husbands and wives and students and children, than Jesus Christ. You put Him first, and I promise you, you want to see your life explode for the kingdom in 2020? Start seeking Jesus. Create a culture of seeking Jesus first, not the aftermath or not the leftovers. God's got a plan for us. Listen, He just wants us to grow and grow in these cultures. And I thought it was very interesting as I was reading this. Our core values sprang off this page, sprang out of this psalm. In verses 1 through 8, I believe that we as a church, our core value is growing, not numerically, but spiritually. And the only way that we can grow spiritually is to seek Jesus first and be filled with Him. Then we begin to grow, and then we begin to go, and then we begin to show that Jesus is who He says He is. I was at a Friday early meeting with Derek Butts over there, a good friend right there, and it was a networking of just leaders around the community. And they ask us to give a commercial of ourselves. They ask us to introduce ourselves and tell what we do and what we expect. And here's what I said. I believe this. I wrote this way back in seminary. I am supposed to be an energetic herald of the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my job. My job as a pastor is to help you grow in Jesus Christ. First, to know Him, to grow in Him, and then to go in Him. And if you don't know Him, I'd like to introduce you to Him. And if you do know Him, I'd like you to share Him with others. That's our whole 2020 vision right there. Getting to know God, it all starts growing in Christ. You got to know Him. Do you know Him? And I'm not talking about know of Him. There are many people who split the doors of the church every week who know of God, but do you know God personally? I don't want you to leave this building until you know God personally, and that's made possible by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He paid a price that we couldn't pay. Now, we read these verses, and I love these verses. I often quote Jeremiah 29:11. The problem is we as preachers and others, we read a verse 11, but we forget to read on just a little bit further. Here's what Jeremiah 29:11-13 says. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. And we like, ooh, I like this. Plans for my welfare. Man, I want God to look out for me. Amen. Not to disaster. Oh, praise God. I hope that happens. To give you a future and a hope. Your call. He says that it's predicated, though. We stop at verse 11. Look at verses 12 and 13. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. All of this is predicated on putting Jesus first in our lives. We want to have relief. We want to have God looking out for our welfare. We've got to know Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, if you're a part of Connect, are you more spiritually mature in 2020, at the beginning of 20, than you were at the beginning of 2019? We would think it awfully strange I know we've had some new births in our church, and I always love that. We've had announcements of pregnancies. But you know, when the baby is given birth, they're cute. But you know, if they stayed that size for a year, something would be wrong. Amen. I love the babies when they begin to grow and they begin to roll over and they begin to get up and do their little toddler waddle, you know. I love that. And especially when the kids, you get home and your kids come up and say, Daddy's home. And now it's Opa's home, you know. But we would think it would strange if they were stunted at a particular time in their life where they stayed about that tall. Now, sometimes when they get teenagers and beyond, you kind of wish you could go and stunt them, right? You know, they were cute back then. Now they can talk back, you know. We'd think something's wrong, but we don't think anything wrong is that we don't grow in Christ one iota in a year. We don't spend any more time in the Word that we did. We don't spend any more time sharing Jesus with others. In fact, probably in 2019, if statistics hold true, only 20% sitting here this morning ever shared Jesus with a single person. That's different than sharing church. We probably all said, hey, come to our church, and I hope you'll do that. But the important thing is church will mess you up. Jesus will clean you up. We talk about Jesus, and then you're naturally, those people who are naturally want to come and be a part of the bride. We need to talk about Him first and the church second. See, we got to grow in Christ. We got to put Him first. He said, you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me, and there, here's the qualifier, with all your heart. We need a church here at Connect Church that are not leftover Christians. We need a church in 2020 that is doing everything and they're lying before God, I mean on their face and seeking Him and say, God, show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want to say. Put people in my path that you want me to talk to. And we begin to seek God first with all of our heart, not just a little bit. We live in a society, we want to compartmentalize God. Can I just tell you, God cannot be compartmentalized. He's bigger than any compartment that you and I have. Everyone, our goal in 2020 is everyone grows deeper in their relationship with God, and as a result, they share more God with others. We want to create a culture of growing. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to put an encouraging challenge. Let's create amongst us a culture of invitation. Can you imagine? Look around. I want you to see. We got a great crowd here this morning. But can you imagine if every one of you and every one of us would commit in 2020 to bringing, not inviting, but bringing at least one person that would stick? We wouldn't have enough chairs. Now, would that excite you? Wouldn't that be neat to have to bring in chairs every week and start talking about the second service and maybe a third service? That's only going to happen if we create a culture of seeking God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and we create a culture of inviting others. Why wouldn't you want to invite people to Connect Church? You're here. I don't want you to come to my church. I'm not going to do anything that's going to, you know, I don't want them to see my church side. Friends, if they're not seeing your church side on the outside, they're not seeing the church side, right? Or they're seeing the wrong side of the church. This year, I want you to know that we have come up with 9 distinct message series to help you grow in Christ. 9 distinct. We're going to help with the. We're going to start next week. If you look at your worship folder, you'll see we're going to do a 6-week series on growing in Christ and help you know what it. Some steps, some solid steps you can take so that 2021, you'll be able to say, yeah, I changed a lot. God changed me a lot. We're going to do some things on helping you become better parents. We're going to introduce some sermons that help you learn character studies from Caleb and Esther. And so you can do some character studies of what does it look like to be a person that is totally sold out for Jesus. It's going to be a great, great year. We're going to touch how help you become better men and better women and better husbands and better wives and better students and just envoys for Jesus in the community. We want to create a culture of seeking God first and inviting others to meet Jesus. The second thing I want to share with you is found in verses 3-5. May He remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. Selah. May He give you what your heart desire and fulfill your whole purpose. Let us shout for joy at your victory and lift the banner in the name of our God. May Yahweh fulfill all your requests. See, we want to develop this culture of sharing. Of sharing. We share, yes, we share, and we're able to share even more as a church when you give. I want you to know I'm just blessed. We set a goal of $100,000 for our Count on Me. Now, we didn't get there, but church, I want you to know you gave $50,815. 58 individuals. You have 58 family units. That's going to help us into the future as we're going to be trying to do some stuff in the future. But that's only because you give. We want to do an outdoor play area so that we can have the potential of possibly having a daycare where you get a discount if you're a parent, if you enroll your kids there. We want to replace some of the toys or all the toys and get new toys for the kids. We want to change some of these stained carpets out if we can. But see, that can't happen if you're not sharing first. Remember, seeking God first. And God then tells us what we're supposed to do, the tithes and the offerings. Tithes are mandated. Offerings are prayed about and led by God. And so we are to give in our, and verse 3 talks about, it is our tithes and your burnt offerings. And it's not our leftovers. If it's leftovers, it's not a biblical giving. And so we want to share. We just want everyone in 2020, if you're not tithing, start. Be a part of the movement. Be a part of leaving a legacy. You're not giving to me. You're giving to God, and then God distributes those gifts, and He uses those. And many of you are here because people gave and that they give. We can't do what we do if God's people won't share of their tithes and their offerings. We want to do some really, really great things this year. Our goal is to everyone to give biblically, to give generously, to give cheerfully. Remember what I said, the way you start out the year is normally how you finish the year. And in our giving, that's such a tough topic. We spent 5 weeks on it this fall talking about what biblical giving is. It's not something we have to be ashamed of. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. This concept, this culture of sharing also includes, as you heard Pastor Aleem say this morning, serving. When you look at verses 4 and 5, may He give you with your heart's desire and fulfill your whole purpose. Can I just tell you, everyone here has a purpose in God's church. Say, I have a purpose. Look to the person and say, you have a purpose. Now, I'm going to challenge you to fulfill that purpose. If you don't know what that purpose is, we've got systems in place that can help you identify that. But everyone should be sharing by serving. If you're not serving, if you're not serving and giving, you're taking. Don't be a person that only takes. Be a person that serves, and there's many ways to serve. If we don't have that ministry, start it. Come talk to us about it. Let's get it going. God may have placed on your heart a ministry that we hadn't even thought about, that we need to implement, but it's going to take you fulfilling the purpose for which God created you for, and it's good works. Who are those good works supposed to be? It says that we're supposed to especially do that within the body of faith. So some of you for 2019, you sat on the sidelines. Listen, you sat on the sidelines, you're not playing in the game. If you're not playing in the game, you can't rejoice in the spoils of the winnings. It doesn't work that way. Those that are happiest are those that are sharing of their time, talents, and their gift sets with the body. You may be a teacher that has not been teaching. You have a love for the Word of God, but you haven't been doing that. You may be one that has the gift of giving. You don't only give your tithes, you can give above and beyond that. You may be a person that has the blessing of working with children. You love children. You get joy and happiness out of investing in those kids. And I still to this day remember the first Sunday school teacher I ever had that told me, Jay, Jesus loves you. I remember her, Miss Ruth Loggins. She is in heaven right now looking down, I believe, and she's blessed being in the presence of her Lord. But I will tell you, she loved kids enough to tell them that Jesus loves them. And she hugged on us, and she taught us about the Bible, and she gave us great snacks. You may have a gift. Maybe you don't feel like you can teach, but you can make some snacks or buy some snacks. Then buy some. You may have the gift of whatever age that may be. Student ministry is a totally unique and interesting ministry. There's different needs. There's different things they're facing in society. And it takes very specially gifted people who love fellow students and students. And they invest their lives, open up their homes, and go on activities and all of that. You may have a gift of just, you know, my mom has the gift. She just liked to be in the preschool with the babies. This was her gift. You know, babies need to be rocked. My mom's on a limited income, Social Security, and she still tithes. My mom has the gift of giving. She can't give as much as she wants, but she gives what she can. You may have other gifts. Maybe that God is calling out, and I'm just thankful there are men in this church right now, men and women in this church, that God is calling out into vocational ministry, full-time vocational ministry, that they are going to commit themselves and consecrate themselves to sharing the gospel message and training up others to love Jesus. You've been fighting it. just like I did all those years. And God, this year, I believe this year, God's going to call some new men and women into vocational ministry, send you possibly onto the mission field. But guess what? All of us have a mission field. It's called our neighborhood, schools, workplaces. You just imagine the gifts that all are mentioned. You may have the gift of administration. Those that know me know I absolutely do not have that gift. I am terrible at it. And so you need people in the church that can keep us straight in the books. Thank God for Terry Riley and for Bo Riley. All the years they've kept us a church afloat by doing those administrative skills that just slays those of us that don't have it. But it's a gift that could not be done if they weren't here and they weren't sharing their gift. Some have the gift of evangelism. Pooty, are you here this morning? I don't know if she's out and about. She's probably preaching somewhere or speaking. She is, if you've ever wanted to meet somebody that has the gift of evangelism, you must meet Pooty Benner. She was from Cambodia, came to America, went to UTA, found Jesus, or Jesus found her. They found each other. And man, I'll just tell you what, she has no problem. I can't tell you the number of students over on UTA that have been led to the Lord through her gift of evangelism. And she's not only just sharing it, she's growing up others to have that. They go out every week and share Jesus. Maybe that's your gift. What is your gift? Maybe it's the gift of service. My wife has the gift of service and hospitality. She would die doing what I do. She wouldn't do it. But behind the scenes, you know, you want to have somebody that'll serve when she has opportunity, she'll do it. She loves it. So you need to be serving. And our goal in 2020 is that everyone is serving somewhere, serving God and serving others in the church first, to allow us to be equipped to do the things that we need to do in 2020. Everybody. Galatians chapter 6 says this, I think it's on the screen. We must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. You say, well, I don't know what my ministry is. Try one. Try it. If you're just like, oh, that's not for me, then try something else, but don't give up. Keep going till you find that niche that God has planted inside of your heart. Everyone needs to be serving God and others here. Now, there are periods of time, I grant you, that there are times where we need to be served. We need to take a break, come in and get a little breather, put some oxygen on, spiritual oxygen on, so we can catch our breath. But there is never a team that puts somebody on the bench that's doing their job. They want them to come back in and do their job. So 2020, come back in. Come back in and do your job. You might have been hurt somewhere else. It doesn't matter. Come back in. It's not about us. It's about God first. And it's about others next. He says, therefore, as we have opportunities, we must work for the good of all. Now, check this out. Especially for those who belong to the household of faith. One day, we hope it's not 2020, but sometimes I do hope. God comes back. He doesn't tarry, and he sends Jesus back to come and be our deliverer. And we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that we will stand before him and be judged on the things that we did for Jesus. I like to imagine it, and I've shared this before, it's like we all stand there with a bucket of everything that we've done in our lives, and we stand before the judgment seat, and he says, okay, I want to bless you, but you got to take all the things out of that bucket that you didn't do for me. And whatever you have left, those things that you did for me, those are your offering to me. And I think sometimes a lot of us are like, trying to figure out what's in the bucket. Invest in the legacy. Invest in eternity. By serving God and serving others. Now this morning, as I told you, we got a lot packed in here this morning. This morning we are going to introduce to you and put into service several in our congregation who have set the standard and are setting the standard in serving others. These men and these women are ones, we always say, we don't pick people to serve, we pick people that serve. We are observing their lives. This year, I'm going to ask my fellow pastors, Pastor Aleem and Pastor Jared and Pastor David to join me here on stage. I'm going to ask if you're an elder here this morning, besides myself and Aleem, would you join us on stage? And if you're a deacon and can slip out of what you're doing, come up here and join us on the stage. Let them. These are your leaders. These elders and these deacons who serve week in and week out. We're the pastors. This pastoral team of our executive pastor, our teaching pastors, Jared and David, and our next generation pastor. David Cummings and Tom Chapman are some of our elders. Let's see who else we got back there. Mark Moore and Pops and Chris is our deacon chairman. And so this morning we want to introduce to you folks who are going to serve you. They have committed. They've gone through the interview process, a rather lengthy one, a rather hard one questionnaire that would challenge anybody. And we talked to them about it, and we really feel like that these are servants of God. Let me just say this. Here at Connect Church, deacons are not decision makers. They are servants. Diakonos literally means through the dirt. And we have examples of both men and women in the Bible. You doubt that? Read Romans 16. There are a lot of women who served, and the word servant is servant. And so this morning we're going to introduce to you, so if you're one of our deacon candidates, our selectees, would you come and take a seat, and would you step out of your seat now and come, and would you welcome them as they're coming, if you're a deacon candidate. Come on. You're going to take a seat right up here. Husband and wife, I prefer you sit next to each other, if that's all right. So we already have Matt Cook is one of our deacons. Chris Brown is one of our deacons. Pootie's husband, Reed Benner, is one of our deacons. Three deacons couldn't do the ministry that we feel we're preparing for in 2020. Our deacons are going to be responsible. Y'all go ahead and have a seat. We got enough chairs. Our deacons are going to be given the basically serving the Lord's Supper, baptisms. They're going to be helping with benevolence. They're going to be following up on the sick and hospitalized, and they're going to be trying to help us to make sure that no one falls through the cracks in 2020. Now, you notice, again, I know for some of you this may be a little bit of a stretch to have women, but it is a biblical principle. And, you know, we as the elders were unanimous in this. There's some things that women can do, guys, that we just can't do well. You go to a hospital visit and the woman's in for a particular surgery, she doesn't really not want to particularly see a guy, or she wants to see a couple. Let's see. Chris, you want to introduce? We got a mic for Chris. Give him a mic. Just introduce these folks. And what I'd like for you to do is just tell us where you're serving currently, and then we're gonna put them into service. We're gonna activate them. And so, Chris, why don't you? So I want to address you and let you know. I want you to look behind you, and all the pastors, would you just raise your hand, your pastors. Now the elders and any deacons that we have. We commit to you to serve you. We commit to support you. We commit to pray for you, as Pastor Aleem says, when you step out for Jesus. Satan doesn't bother what doesn't bother him. So I want you to bother Satan. I want him to know your name. There's a story in Acts where it talks about the Sceva brothers, where they went in and tried to cast out some demons, and the demons looked at them and said, "Hey, God, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but really, who the blue blazes are you?" And I hope God so fills you to bursting that Satan knows your name, and he's the one that fears mighty men and mighty women of God. And together, we are better together. And church, if you would commit to praying for them, they need it, and to supporting them, I'm just going to ask that you stand and just give God glory. Give him glory for people who are willing to serve. All right. Y'all can be seated. Y'all go get busy. Amen and amen. Well, we really believe that in 2020, and we're running a little long, but that's okay. You get done listening before I get done preaching. Have a great day. The Cowboys aren't in it, so, you know, you got no place to go. So, and New England lost, so I'm happy. So, sorry for those of you that are New England fans. I'm sorry. Not really. But, you know, the last thing I want to talk to you about real quickly is we really believe as leaders, we don't like to use this word in church much, but it's a word that we need to believe in. We want to create a culture of succeeding. And I'm not talking naming it, claim it. I'm talking about exceeding by being a people who love God with all their heart, mind, and soul. We're seeking him with everything that we got. We're allowing Him to use anything that we've got. We become a church that's successful when we become a church of prayer. Can I just tell you, we need to be a people of prayer. Pray for your pastors, pray for your elders, pray for your deacons, pray for this church, pray for finances, pray that God would have His way in our lives. And we will, I promise you, you want to see a successful church, you will never see a successful church when people aren't praying. We've got to be a people that are praying. We see those in verses, I believe, in 5 and 6, those verses where we call out to Him. You know, we want to talk to others before we talk to God. Let's talk to God first and then tell people about God. We want to have a culture of belonging. Our goal in 2020 is that everybody here is involved in a small group where everybody, at least somebody in that group, somebody knows your name each and every time that you walk into this building. We don't have enough life groups. So maybe God is trying to stir and fan into flame that gift in you. You say, well, I can't teach, but I can host. Open your home. We'll get you a teacher. We'll get you somebody to lead and facilitate. We need everybody to be in a small group. We all need to belong, amen? We all want people to know our name. We all want people to care about us. And the difficulty is if you're not in a small group, it's hard. We find out later that you're in the hospital. But can I tell you, and those of you who are in life groups, people go to the hospital, man, those life groups are on it. They're getting meal trains together. You know, they're making casseroles that you can put in your freezer for months. They're taking care of you. They do hospital visits. They take people to appointments. But you got to be in a place where people know your name. And we want our life groups and our small groups to be like our church, multicultural, multiracial, socioeconomic, multigenerational. We can learn from one another and show the world that Jesus is who He says He is. We can break down barriers instead of putting them up. But we got to belong. And in verses 7 and 8, I really believe this culture of success comes when a people are totally abandoned, as Carl led us, totally abandoned, our heart just totally abandoned in worship to God. He's worth it. God is worth it. God is not just good. God is great. He is worthy of our worship. Psalmist writes in 37, and I like verse 4. That was the life verse that God gave me, one of my life verses that God gave me for finally stepping out and saying yes to going into vocational ministry. Psalm 37:4 says this, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He will grant you the desires of your heart. Now, I found out rather quickly that when I delight myself, remember the first one, seeking, a culture of seeking, when I seek God first, He changes my desires to His desires. And when He changes my heart, then my desire is now to grow and to give and to serve and to share and to belong and to worship. He says in Psalm 37:4, you know, if you'll delight yourself in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But He doesn't finish there. He says, commit your way to the Lord. That's the secret to success. You want to have a better year in 2020 than 2019? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will act. Boy, I like that. He will act. Oftentimes, we want God to act before we're willing to act. But it's the other way. He said, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. And He says, He will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn. That means you can't help but ooze Jesus. In 2020, I hope you'll ooze Jesus. He says, your justice like the noonday. So as we close, you got to ask yourself a couple of questions. So what and now what? In this new year, 2020, let us become balloon Christians. Here am I, God. Here am I, God. Fill me, use me, send me, teach me, grow me, stretch me. Balloon Christians are those individuals who are more interested in being the church than attending the church. Balloon Christians are more eager to reveal God's love to the outsiders than simply be comfortable with the insiders. It's real easy to be a Christian on Sunday morning, amen? Balloon Christians are those who share with the outsiders who are not yet the insiders, so that the insiders can then again go out to the outsiders who make them insiders. We get in our Christian bubble. Individuals, balloon Christians, those individuals who focus on the eternal rather than the temporary, the internal rather than external, who find more joy in receiving than they do, or in giving than they do receiving, who would rather serve, would jump at the chance to serve rather than be served, who are more focused on expanding God's kingdom than their own, who are more worried about laying up treasures in heaven than they are here, which, by the way, you can't take them with you unless it's people that you have introduced to Jesus, and you will see them there. They are your reward. They are the blessing. They're part of your legacy. Balloon Christians are those who seek to promote God and others ahead of themselves. Connect Church, would you agree? I'm asking this morning as we close, we're going to respond in a rather unique way. As you can see, you've probably been staring at this all morning. This is a triptych. It's what they call it. It's a three-piece image of our church on the outside. And I'm going to ask you to pray about your decision. But we want to be a people of covenant. A covenant to God and to each other. We can't do what we're doing without you. We can't do what God wants us to do without you. Without you and you and you, and you put your name there. So here's how we're going to close this service. We're going to begin to sing, "Lord, I Need You." But He wants to involve you. And there's a marker at each of these places. If you would covenant to be a Balloon Christian and throw in your lot with us here at Connect Church, and covenant to grow, covenant to seek, covenant to serve and give, and all those things we talked about, and pray and worship. If you want to throw your lot in here with Connect Church, then as we begin to sing, you just slip out of your seat and sign your or your family's name anywhere on any of these, only on one. I mean, so we've got three areas. And we want to have a record. I want to have a record. I'd like to know who's with me. I'd like to know who's saying, okay, 2020, we're going to follow the clear vision of Jesus Christ. We're going to put what's behind us, and we're going to seek God with everything that we have, everything that we are, and become all that He wants us to be. Now, don't sign it if you're not going to commit to it. Please. This is a record of where you'll be able to walk by in the hallway and say, I'm committed. I'm covenanted with that church. So I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and pray, and then we'll begin to sing. We'll have you stand after I say amen, and then you can begin to keep singing. Or you can come and sign this. Don't worry, we'll do it for a couple of weeks in a row, but I'd like for you, if you're committed to it, you're covenanted to us and to each other, sign this triptych. Father, in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit, we welcome a new year. We welcome you to lead us. We ask you to give us the strength and the wisdom to follow wherever you lead us. God, we need you to be the kind of church that you want us to be, that we need it to be, and the outside world needs to see, God. We've got a covenant, God, a vow to you that we're all in. So all these things, we look forward with excitement. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand and sing.